This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Monday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 367 and three quarters, up 4 3/4. December corn, 376 and three quarters, up 5. March corn, 388 and a half, up 5 1/4. August soybeans, 1236 and a half, up 24 1/4. September soybeans, 1137, up 23 1/4. November soybeans, 1107 and three quarters, up 24 1/4. September wheat, 534 and three quarters, down 3 1/4. December wheat, 557 and three quarters, down 2. March wheat, 580 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's grain market report. First of all, the Illinois country grain prices were mostly higher on Monday afternoon with no rain in the forecast and the Midwest soybeans in the pod setting stage. Soybean prices moved upward. Corn followed soybeans higher and wheat sagged on bearish news of world wheat crop. On the world wheat crop is healthy. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher at 355 to 373. Soybean bids were up 23 to 24 cents at 1247 to 1283. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 5 cents at 352 to 374. Soybeans 18 to 24 cents higher at 1259 to 1306. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 5 cents higher at 352 to 388. Soybean bids 24 to 25 cents stronger at 1257 to 1292. And the wheat bids mostly 3 cents lower at 454 to 495. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids up 24 cents at 1307 to 1337. Basis steady, range from 70 to 100 over the August. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $447.80 to $459.80, which was $4.80 per ton higher, with basis unchanged at $45 to $57 over the August. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids up 5 cents at $3.80 to $3.98, with basis steady at $12 to $30 over September. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids up 6 to 8 cents at 378 to 384, with basis up 1 to 3 cents at 10 to 16 over September. Soybeans ended 12 to 24 cents higher at 1258 to 1277, with basis unchanged at 12 cents lower, range from 21 to 40 over the August. Wheat prices 3 cents lower at 480 to 495, with basis unchanged at 40 to 55 under September. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids up 5 to 6 cents at 408 to 409. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 10 to 14 cents with quotations at 1292 to 1307. Soft red winter wheat steady to 3 cents lower at 490 to 508. And Milo ended 5 cents higher for the day at 402 to 427. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain on Monday. Country elevator bids to producers in the northern and western regions of the state. New crop corn ranged from 338 to 348, with new crop soybean bids ranging from 1071 to 1088. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 341 to 350. New crop bean bids 1073 to 1104. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn 341 up to 359, with the new crop soybean bids ranging from 1078 all the way up to 1114. That completes our grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Monday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 159.05, down 5 cents. October live cattle, 159.07, down 72 cents. December live cattle, 159.25, up 47 cents. August feeder cattle, 220.17, up $1.92. September feeder cattle, 221.20, up $1.95. October feeder cattle, 220.85, up $2. August lean hogs, 123.67, up 5 cents. October lean hogs, 106.62, down 65 cents. December lean hogs, $97.35, down 80 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 28th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $2.57 lower in the range of $112 to $126.50, with a weighted average carcass price of $121.63. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $2 higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 80 to 88, 4 to 5 weights 84 to 93, 5 to 6 weights 86 to 94, and 600 pounds and up were 90 to 97. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $85 to $89. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 11,741 head, and in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $160.50, and heifers on a live basis were $162. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 187 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $130.94, and that was 85 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses $259.30, which was $1.92 higher, and select carcasses of $256.17 was $1.84 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 111,000. That compared to 115,000 last week and 118,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 397,000. That compared to 372,000 last week and 355,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.62. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.52. July corn delivered to Scottville, $3.53. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.52. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $12.75. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $11.06. July beans delivered to Scottville, $12.64. October beans delivered to Scottville, $11.06. July wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.72. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.62, corn at Scottville is $3.53, beans at Greenfield are $12.75, beans at Scottville are $12.64, and wheat at Scottville is $4.72. And now for your weekly crop and weather report for the state. Favorable weather conditions allowed producers 6 days suitable for field work last week. Activities included baling hay and spraying crops. Statewide, precipitation averaged 0.45 inches, 0.45 inches below normal for the week ending in July 27th. Average temperature was 71.9 degrees, 3.6 degrees below normal. Corn silking reached 94%, ahead of the 5-year average of 85%. Corn in the dough stage was rated at 25% compared to the 5-year average of 29%. Corn condition was rated at 82%, good to excellent. Soybeans blooming progressed to 83%, ahead of the 5-year average of 72%. Soybeans setting pods reached 44%, ahead of the 5-year average of 30%. Soybean condition was rated at 78%, good to excellent. Sorghum headed reached 39%, and sorghum turning color was rated at 13%. Oats harvested reached 73%, ahead of the 5-year average of 56%. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 2% poor, 26% fair, 55% good, and 16% excellent. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 12% short, 82% adequate, and 6% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 16% short, 79% adequate, and 4% surplus. The fair season is well underway, and for swine exhibitors, vigilance is recommended to minimize disease. Pork Checkoff Director of Swine Health Information and Research, Dr. Lisa Becton, encourages exhibitors to learn to identify a sick animal.
As they're coming into a show or they know they're going to a show, if their pig's showing any kind of, you know, illness, whether it be, you know, a diarrheal disease or even respiratory disease, it really is up to them and their parents and their advisors to decide whether or not it's appropriate to take that animal to a fair. Obviously, if the animal's sick, it really should not go to an exhibit. It should remain home. And beyond that, if your animal is healthy, I think a lot of the things are is, you know, keep your areas clean, don't share equipment with other people, minimize your traffic in and around your area as much as possible. Granted, when you're in a fair, you know, there's a lot of things going on and a lot of people moving around, but to try as much as possible to limit, you know, a lot of movement. If your pig starts to get sick when you're at an exhibit, let the fair organizers know so they can let the show veterinarian know, because if they can do some things, whether to pull that pig to an isolation area or a separate area, that'll help preserve the health for everybody at the fair.
After the fair, exhibitors are advised to isolate returning pigs from the other pigs on the farm. That is just one of many recommendations for after the show.
Take any of the animals that you're bringing back and isolate them in a separate area for at least 14 to 30 days. If you can hold them for a month in a separate area, that allows for you to make sure that they don't get sick once they get home, that you can do some testing if you need to, whether it's for PRRS or for other diseases. But it's very important to allow those animals to remain in a separate area so you can observe them and not put them directly into your herd, because if you do, you run the risk of potentially getting a disease you don't want. And then just basic cleaning and sanitation of your equipment and trailers when you return to your farm. A lot of, you know, soap, water, and some drying heat and sunlight really go a long way to help reduce anything unwanted that you don't want to bring back into your farm.
Again, that was Pork Checkoff Director of Swine Health Information and Research, Dr. Lisa Becton. On August 5th at 7 p.m., the Macoupin County Agriculture Foundation will sponsor an on-the-road seminar to discuss the changes in transportation rules and guidelines. Mark Duggar, Executive Director of the Foundation, explains.
There has been a lot of changes in the transportation rules, regulations, guidelines, you name it, there's been changes in those things. This update, we've brought in Kevin Rund, who has been working with transportation issues for over 30 years. He does a great job with that. He's with the Illinois Farm Bureau. He's going to be in there talking about a covered farm vehicle, medical cards, OHV stamps, USDOT numbers, the unified carrier registration, just a myriad of issues that have changed over the last 6 months. I think one of these issues was passed by the legislature, stopped by the legislature, repassed, rewritten, restarted. And everybody's confused, and that's what this program is based on August the 5th at 7 p.m. at the Farm Bureau building. Kevin is going to be in there and hopefully get some of the confusion cleared up. He's going to have a lot of handouts, a lot of reading material to go back and peruse when we're done with this program, and hopefully that'll help clear up some of the confusion in these transportation issues.
Also going on August 7th at the Macoupin County Farm Bureau building is a Farm Bill seminar.
The Farm Bill, which almost didn't get passed, but then did finally get passed. The new Agricultural Act of 2014 is passed. Not many of the rules are written. It's kind of a day-to-day thing. Folks that I have talked to that working for USDA and Illinois Farm Bureau are going, it's a daily change in what is coming out. So on August 7th at 7 p.m. at the Farm Bureau building here in Carlinville, we're going to be having a Farm Bill update. Doug Yoder is going to be in town. He is with the Senior Director of Affiliate and Risk Management for Illinois Farm Bureau. Has been following this very, very closely. Hopefully by that time frame, he'll have a few more answers for everybody. We are also going to have some Macoupin County NRCS staff there with us for about a half hour, going over some of the conservation programs that have come out in this new Farm Bill. Lots of information. Again, as you say, lots of confusion over the new Farm Bill on what can we do, what can't we do, what's available, what's not available, what are our options. Doug is going to try and clear up some of that confusion. He says not everything is done yet, but it's not too early to start researching it and figuring out what you want to do.
Again, that was Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Again, the On the Road seminar will be held August 5th at 7 p.m., and the Farm Bill seminar will be held August 7th at 7 p.m. Both will be at the Farm Bureau building in Carlinville. Advance registration is required for both. To register, you can call the Farm Bureau at 217-854-2571. July is National Ice Cream Month, and as we wind down the days left in July, there's only a couple left to truly celebrate National Ice Cream Month. I spoke with Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council about how ice cream managed to get a 31-day celebration.
It has been National Ice Cream Month, and you're right, you still have a few days left, so good time to go out, and if you haven't indulged in ice cream recently, a nice time to try out maybe some new flavors.
And we should be getting some nice hot weather so that people can go out and enjoy the rest of National Ice Cream Month. Now, how did this get started? What's the origin of National Ice Cream Month?
It actually started back in 1984, and Ronald Reagan was president. He designated July as National Ice Cream Month, and he recognized ice cream was a fun and nutritious food. So that's how it got its start. And, of course, we've been celebrating ever since. And, you know, of course, we promote it a lot during July, but certainly ice cream is something that people probably nowadays enjoy year-round. And it does contribute quite a bit to the economy. The industry generates more than $21 billion in sales every year. And about 9% of all the milk that is produced by dairy farmers here in the United States is used to make ice cream.
That's a pretty decent chunk.
Yeah, I would think so.
And what would be a serving of ice cream? I know whenever people go and have some, it's a cone or a bowl, but what is a legitimate serving size?
Well, your cone idea is a pretty good serving size. If you can picture in your mind something about the size of a tennis ball, it's usually a serving is considered to be a half a cup. Now, admittedly, probably many people consume more than one serving at a sitting, or if you sometimes get out a little pint, sometimes it's easy just to start eating out of that. So, but an average serving size is considered to be a half cup.
So that's probably about just enough to fit on an ice cream cone.
Right.
All right,
very good. That's a good indication.
As long as you keep the serving size guidelines in your head, I imagine ice cream can fit into a healthy diet.
You know, it really can. Ice cream, of course, tastes delicious, and it does have some advantages over other typical foods that we may consider as dessert type of items. Ice cream is made from milk, and because of that, a lot of the same nutrition, the same vitamins, the same minerals that we get from a glass of milk are also found in that ice cream. And certainly for those people who are kind of watching calorie intake, you could still enjoy ice cream. There are lots of different varieties out there. You can find some that are a little bit lower in fat content or sugar content, which would be a little bit easier on the calories. But, you know, again, as long as you keep in mind that half cup serving, it's great to include it in the diet.
Right. I hear for healthy diets, just portioning your meals is really what's key.
It is. And, you know, most people are unaware of what a recommended serving size is. And we tend to have, I think, in our minds, a larger idea of what a serving should be. And when you actually look at those serving sizes, you can see that they are relatively small. And also, as we go out to eat at restaurants, oftentimes those portions are really large. And so it can be a little bit misleading for us. We think we're going to just order something and eat the entire plate, where actually we're probably consuming more than we need to.
What are probably the most popular flavors of ice cream, the ones that people really enjoy wolfing down during National Ice Cream Month?
Well, according to the statistics that are out there, vanilla ranks as the top flavor, and it's been that for many, many years. I think it's just a very simple, clean-tasting ice cream that people just enjoy. And, of course, with vanilla, you can top it with anything you like. You can throw on some chocolate sauce or caramel sauce, or, you know, this time of year we have have so many ripe fruits that it's great to top it off with some of those, maybe something like peaches.
Many people put it on pie.
Absolutely. You can do something like use vanilla a la mode on top of pie or brownies, whatever. So that's number one. That is followed by chocolate, then Neapolitan, strawberry, and finally cookies and cream.
That's a good one. Do you have a favorite type of ice cream?
You know, I will say mine is probably vanilla. How about you?
That's a toughie, but I might have to go with the mint chocolate chip on this one.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is the difference between ice cream, custard, and frozen yogurt? I think frozen yogurt has really become a trend nowadays. Everybody
right.
loves going out for some froyo.
Yes.
And also, custard places are so popular in the summer.
They are. And they all start out with the same basic ingredients. Of course, you start with milk and probably some extra cream. I should point out that in order for a product to be called ice cream, you must have at least 10% milk fat in there. That's a requirement by law. Usually they add different ingredients, some sugar for sweetening, some extra flavors, and then stabilizers and emulsifiers. Those are really important because they help maintain the proper texture or enhance the actual ice cream. So custard is a little bit different in that it contains a higher percentage of egg yolk solids, so that gives it kind of a richer taste and a creamier taste. And you're right, there are a lot of delicious custard places out there. And frozen yogurt, you know, we've seen over the past couple years that something like Greek yogurt has become very popular, and it's also spilled over into the frozen food section. And so there are a lot of different frozen yogurts that are available. And again, it starts out with milk. It may be a cultured product. Oftentimes, when you look at the ingredient labeling or the front of the package, it'll say something like live active cultures. And I found out recently, I thought, oh boy, you freeze them, they're probably not still alive and active. But it turns out they go dormant when you freeze them. And then when you consume them, it hits your body heat. They actually warm up, and they are alive and active. So that may be something considered to be a little bit of a health benefit for individuals.
Oh, yeah. I think it takes a little bit more than just some cold weather for those bugs to really kill them off.
Right, right.
All right, so there's still a couple days left to enjoy National Ice Cream Month, so hopefully everyone goes out and has some ice cream, but keeps in mind the portion sizes and stays healthy with it.
Absolutely, and you mentioned there are a number of different yogurt places, and those are great. Those are wonderful. I know we have one in Springfield, but you're allowed to put in as much as you want. Just remember that half cup serving size. And then, of course, remember when you're adding additions on there, the candy or whatever you're putting on there, that also will increase the calorie content. So just be aware of that.
Right. The half cup serving size may be healthy, but when you add 5 brownies to it, maybe not.
Yes, or the little gummies or whatever you're putting on. And of course, that is part of the fun of going out to some of those places. So just keep it in mind.
And if anyone has any questions about National Ice Cream Month or maybe any recipes that they could look at to keep cool with dairy products this summer, where can they go to find that?
Check out our website, which is stldairycouncil.org. And you can also, from that webpage, link to our Facebook page. And we always have recipes in there, some interesting ideas, and especially for...
Again, that was Joyce Vickery with the St. Louis Dairy Council. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.